Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Our good friend Tom Donnan is back again for part two of this interview. And we've been talking about the effects this coronavirus pandemic has been having on society. We ended yesterday's interview talking about the legislation that has been passed where, you know, you can skip your mortgage payments and skip your rent payments. But there's some ramifications to that that we have not heard anyone discuss, and that's where we're going to pick up this conversation today. So let's jump back into the interview. They're going to be expected to make those payments up, but when they go back to work, they're not going to get, you know, 3 or 4 months' pay to catch everything up. They still are required to make those 3 house payments, but, you know, they're also going to be, living on a limited budget.
It becomes a nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
So, and then, you know, what about the companies who hold the mortgage? Or if they're renting, the people who are using those rent payments to pay the mortgage, right? What are they going to do now? You know, well, then, you know, like I said, then you got the mortgage companies and the banks. You know, what are they supposed to do when the owners don't want to pay them? You know, it's a,
yeah.
It just snowballs so quickly
snowballs.
Into what it is, you know. The good news is, at least they put steps in place to stop people from getting evicted right now, temporarily. So that's good, don't you think?
Yes, it is. You know, it's a kind of a respite, relief. And so because there is people are going to be having this. You know, when we were at 2008, 2009, you know, people were so underwater with their mortgages that they just walked away. And so by putting this moratorium on the mortgages to see where this is going to go, it's going to give people a chance to be able to figure a way out of this, which is going to be very, very important. Because, you know, the instability is just going to cause so much turmoil. And so in that turmoil, it comes to the point where people are going to start looking for help. Yep, and so we know where the help is coming from.
Amen. That's what I was going to say. Let's get off the negative for a little bit. And these last 10 minutes or so, let's move over into what the Word of God tells us is going to happen. Can God make a way in all of this?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind. What about you?
He is the way.
Well, I'm telling you. You know, okay, so 37 years now I've been born again, and it has been an absolute adventure. And so I've seen a lot of things over my life. I think about my grandfather. He had gone through some very interesting times, and he never missed a meal, and he didn't ever have a point where he didn't have a roof over his head. And from the time that he was like, let's say 5 on, they did have some transition stuff. But that's the way God works, you know. Yeah. And He provides for us, and He is. I love that scripture in Psalms 34, where He says that He will rescue us from all of our problems.
That's right.
And I've had problems that were just so over my head at times I didn't know what to do. I held on to that scripture, and then I watched them do it.
That's right. Let me tell you a quick story about Psalms 34, because I love, that's probably one of my favorite scriptures. I'll tell you why. That is the verse that saved my life.
Really?
I had made the decision to commit suicide due to extreme financial stuff going on in my life back in the early 90s. I put myself, my family, I mean, it was just a bad, bad time of my life now. And I thought, well, I'll just kill myself and they can use the insurance money to pay everything up and life, they'll go on with their life, you know, and that's the only way I could fix things. And I cried out to God, and I told him, and without going into a lot of details, people who've listened to the podcast, they've heard the story before, but, you know, I was in Georgia, away from my family, was in Louisiana, trying to sell insurance, and I'd been there a month, had not sold one policy. So now I had 2 payments, you know, house things going on, you know. One night on January 25th, 1992, 11:35 p.m. Eastern Time, in a little empty apartment in Columbus, Georgia, I could take you to this day. I called out the guy. I said, I'm done. That's it. You know, this is, you know, and if he'd asked me if I was born again, I'd say, yep, sure am. But I know now it was just a lie of the devil. But when I made that decision, my kids were little. You know, they were like 4, 6 years old, so they were already in bed. And like I said, it was 11:30 at night. So I was just going to wait till the next day and tell them how much I loved them and stuff, and then I was just going to do it. And, you know, at least they wouldn't see the body because, you know, I was in Georgia. They were in Louisiana type thing. And my habit, for some reason, for like a year, I've been reading the Bible all the way through. And what I do is read two chapters in the morning and then one at night and before I went to bed. And like I said, I guess I knew the answer was in the Word somewhere. But, you know, like I said, I told people and had that I was born again, but I know now I wasn't. But anyway, as I was getting ready to go to sleep on the floor, because I didn't even have a mattress, I was just sleeping on the floor with a blanket. I seen my Bible sitting there and realized, oh, I hadn't read my scripture. And so I got up, and Psalms 34 was a chapter I was supposed to read that night. And the verse you were talking about, I got down to verse 7 and said, "The Lord has heard this poor man cry and shall deliver him from all his trouble."
Awesome.
And brother, the Holy Spirit invaded my life that very second. I mean, I was born again, speaking in tongues. I was laughing uncontrollably, crying the same tears streaming down my face all at the same time. I mean, it was amazing. And since my wife, she'd been born again for 4 years, she was praying for me for those 4 years. I went and called her about 15 minutes later. It took me that long to calm down. And said, "Guess what just happened to me?"
Hallelujah.
Amen. I said, I'm packing it. I was month-to-month lease in that little dumpy apartment I was in. And this is, like I said, the 25th. I said, "I'm packing up. I'm coming home February 1st because I can be just as broke at home with you and the kids as I can here." Within that 6 days, I sold enough insurance to pay the bills that I owed in Georgia and at least keep the lights on and the house payment we weren't evicted from, catching those things up in Louisiana. But, you know, that Psalms 34 has a very special place in my heart with the relationship with God.
Wow. That is wonderful. See, that's the thing, is that God is able to do these things. You know, I often in the past would think to myself, you know, relate to him like he's president, you know, like we could talk back to him. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered he's king, you know, and in king is that he has power. And I have seen this power been released in my life so that he could mold and shape me, but also bless me in ways that I am so shocked, just like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, 6 days having that business come in, that's not even hard for him.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I kept track. I'm very, I don't even know what the word, detail-oriented. So I keep track of stats in the radio and everything else, right? And with my insurance, I knew that if I sent out 200 of these postcards, I would get 20 phone calls, set 10 appointments, and sell 2 sales in 1 week. That was just, I knew that was the stats. Some weeks may be better, some weeks may be worse. Well, I went a whole month with 0 sales, right?
Wow.
But I had something like 7 sales in those last 5 days that I was in Georgia. Made up for the whole month, you know?
Yeah.
But praise the Lord. You know, tell us about this woman in India that you helped.
Oh, you know, here's the thing. I love God assignments, okay? So what happens is that during the night I'll have a dream, you know, or maybe a vision, and it will give me guidance about what's about to happen. Sometimes it's quick, and sometimes it takes a little while to unfold. So I had this dream where there was an evil presence in a house, and I went in there to rescue them, okay? Which most people run the other way, but, you know, in the dream I saw that I went in there and I got to the second level and this thing attacked me, and that's when I woke up with my heart pounding out of my chest. So the thing was is that, okay, now, Lord, where in the world is this going to happen and how are you going to get me? Because I'm like in isolation, you know, so how is this going to happen? And so the thing was is that two mornings later, is that I was woken up by a turtle dove that is cooing outside my window, and I was like really aggravated, right? So because I normally sleep another 2 hours later, so I get up and I start my routine. So now I'm ahead of time, and then I go over and I log into the ministry, Need Him Ministry, and I logged in there, and this person comes into the inbox, and in the inbox, her name is Jane. So I thought, no topic, so I just decided to click on it, and when I clicked on it, She was the person. Her family was the household. Now, here is the interesting thing. She was in Kadu, India. Okay?
Wow. Okay.
It's so how does God do this, right? That's 8,500 miles away.
Yeah.
This woman, she's a young woman. She's 20 years old. She has been under pressure, and she decided that she really was crying out to God, and she needed to talk to somebody outside the family, and she found this chat link.
Wow.
I don't know how he does this stuff, right? And so I spent 2 hours with her.
Oh, all right. Wow.
2 hours sorting the stuff out, because once she got into it, I realized she's having spiritual experiences that nobody in her surroundings understand. Mm. And so because of that, I was able to share with her things to be able to decide, OK, yeah, this is of God. This isn't of God. This is how you handle this. This is what you open up. This is how you close, you know. And then I sent her some prayers from spiritual house cleaning to be able to help redirect their lives, you know, to ask for more of God to intervene. And so I was absolutely blown away. That comes back to that Psalms or Isaiah 43:19 thing, you know. And this isn't hard for him. We just have to be obedient and follow and be used of him and be open for this kind of stuff. And there's such joy in it. It's absolutely amazing. I love these divine appointments.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, when God moves like that, like I say, I look at it like, you know, the world is this big chessboard, and he just, okay, I need this pawn over here.
Yeah, that describes me.
Tell us about this message you heard in the middle of the night.
Okay. So there's a small percentage of Christian believers that are born again that are in a relationship with the Holy Spirit that hear sounds in the middle of the night. Okay. And even a smaller percentage that might hear a sound during the day. So in the year 2000 is when I started to get my education on this. In the middle of the night, like about 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up, I go out there, there's nobody there. It finally took about 2 weeks before I thought to ask the Holy Spirit what's going on here, because nobody else is hearing this, right? And so that's when I realized the message was, Tom, I'm going to bring something across your path today, and it's at the door. I want you to open up to it. And so I had to learn that it wasn't a worldly thing necessarily, but it was a spiritual thing that was God was interested in. And so from that point on, I started to hear these messages, which makes it really easy for me because it's a now message.
Mm. Amen. Are you there? Uh-oh.
What happened?
Okay, you're there. You're back. We had a
How much did you miss?
Does not want this put out there.
Wow, how much did you miss?
About 5 seconds.
Okay, all right. So the thing is that let's just cut to the point here. Is that I recently heard a message about 3 weeks ago, and here's part of the sound of it. Okay, so people can understand how it is for me. Here we go. Okay, so. Okay.
Hey, man.
Now that's got to be interesting, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. So the point was, I knew right away, it's a fairy horn, right? Okay. It's a deep sounding fairy. It took me a while to find almost the exact sound. All right. So the point was, is that when I heard this sound, I opened up my eyes and it's 3:16 in the morning. Now, how easy can it get, right?
Right.
That's John 3:16.
John 3:16, yeah.
Yeah. So God is about to bring a mass salvation, and he's about to ferry people from the world into the kingdom of God in just huge proportions. And this is what we've been talking about even in the pre-interview, is that God's about to do a massive thing here, which is so exciting.
Amen. Amen. Well, the society today is built, I mean, really everything is built on, what they can do. You know, this is what we can do. This is what we're going to do, rather than on what God wants them to do. You know, and that's where we started the conversation. Jesus talked about building your house on shifting sand. You know, I mean that all goes hand in hand with this. You know, that where you're trying to rely on your own perseverance. You know, that that goes in where you become your own God.
Oh, that is scary.
Well, it's like, again, we don't work by fear, we work by faith.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, okay, so we become our own God and we don't even know it, right? And so because there's no other benchmark. But I had been ministering in Oklahoma, and the Lord had showed me that there was a covering over the city, and the covering was comfort and complacency, which made it hard for spiritual life to be able to move and thrive. All right. Mm. So the thing about complacency is that it moves into self-reliance. Right? And self-reliance is independence, and independence, there's no need for God.
Well, yeah, that goes right what we were saying. Amen. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, God, sounds cliche, but God is such a great God. You know, when you get down to it, I mean, you got all these little gods, but he's the Most High God.
Yeah.
You know, he's the Almighty God out of all the little gods. I mean, and what God are you serving? You going to serve a God that man created? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense, you know? And,
yeah.
And like God's using, you know, this virus, let me put this out there. God did not put this virus on people. This is the devil. It's of the devil. However, just like with Job going through a trial, God allowed it. And I believe he allowed it to wake people up that they need him.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason, that's the only glory God is going to get out of this virus is people saying, God, I need you.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. And so here's the thing. Okay, you know, God gets a bum rap almost all the time.
Yeah.
I was in a church service with my friend Pastor Phil, and we're down in Bullard, Texas. And the second night of the service, it was like the atmosphere of the church split down the center and got pushed to the side. And the love of God filled that church. And the first thing that happened is that I realized, oh, I was made for this love. It was so awesome. It was like a water atmosphere. And it was just absolutely awesome. And I thought, oh, I could exist forever in this amount of love. You know, and so in our world, we very seldom ever get a chance to be able to experience his love and realize how much he does love us. And that's why he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to be able to pay the price for us so that we can live with him in eternity. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell people on a regular basis when I'm ministering is that heaven is a no-sin zone. So how in the world do sinners get there, right? Because heaven is God's home, and God does not allow sin. It's pure.
That's right.
And so therefore, we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So when people are looking at everything going on in the world right now, and they're hearing us talk about you need Jesus, what's the biggest obstacle that's facing them from becoming a Christian?
Oh, man, there is a lot of things. But I'll tell you what, one of the things is that sin is something that we usually don't want to acknowledge about ourselves, see. Sometimes there's pain associated with that sin. And so, therefore, we have to have the pressure outside be so strong that it now becomes more advantageous for us to be willing to do that, you know? And then what happens is that we're willing to then deal with our sin, and then repentance takes place. And as repentance is the doorway to a closer relationship with the Lord, first of all, and through salvation. Man, can you you talked about it earlier. When I got washed in the blood when I was saved, I couldn't believe how good my spirit felt. Man, people saw the difference in me. When I was washed in the blood and forgiven of those sins, oh, man, it was unbelievable. And so that was the other side of the breakthrough. But sometimes sins hold us back, you know, because we like some sins, you know. Some sins we can't see, some sins we don't want to deal with, and some people have abuse, and we don't want to go through that. But it does bring about the blessings on the other side.
That's right. That's right. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm praying Psalms 91 over my family and all that. But, you know, okay, that's good. I mean, that's a step in the right direction, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't work unless you're a believer. Well, let me rephrase that. It is possible for unbelievers to be blessed as part of God blessing other people. Okay. And remember the story where Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, they're crossing the lake and a storm blew in? And Mark 36, I believe it is, there's a little phrase that a lot of people miss. And when a lot of times when pastors are teaching on this, they just blow right past it without thinking about it. Several years back, the Lord showed me this. You know, I'm reading along. Yep, okay. And it says, no, you missed it. Like, what did I miss? I went back and start reading again. It says, in Mark 36, it says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships.
Oh. Right?
So it wasn't just his boat out on the water that night.
Oh.
There were other boats, probably fishermen out there, you know, of course, because this wasn't a storm that, you know, they looked in the horizon and said, well, Lord, you know, it's about time for us to turn around because the storm's coming in. No, they, you know, they're like, yep, okay, let's go to the other side. And then this storm blew in that the devil was trying to drown Jesus with, right? So all these other little ships are experiencing the same problems they're experiencing in their ship.
Yeah.
So when they woke up Jesus and he calmed the wind and the sea, it just wasn't for his boat. It was awesome. For all the other little ships. They got blessed at the same time.
Awesome.
So it is possible. You know, I mean, you hear a lot of pastors talking about, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, if my people call by my name, right? Well, yeah, if God's people, if the Christians will pray and repent of our sins, right?
Yeah.
Repent of the national sin, repent of our sin, then God will hear whose prayers? The prayers of his people, right? And
yeah.
He'll forgive their sins and heal their household, their land.
Right? Yeah.
So the unbelievers get blessed because of the prayers of the believers.
Right? Awesome.
But there is coming a time when that the believers won't be here. And then the unbelievers can pray that prayer all they want to. It's not going to work.
You need to have the relationship. That's the thing.
That's right. Amen. So, you know, and that brings us to the relationship. You know, where is the beginning point in a relationship with God?
Exactly. You know, I often bring this up, is that as I'm trying to communicate with people, because if the mind is not exposed to the spiritual life in it, it doesn't go anywhere. And this is why I keep on bringing it up until I hope somebody sees. And that is in John 3:3, where Nicodemus, you know, is going there. And God and Jesus shocks him by, you know, making a right turn, right? And because he can tell where Nicodemus wants to go with this. And then Jesus said, well, you must be born again. And so now he's totally, you know, shook because he had his thoughts all lined up and Jesus threw him a curve. Okay. So, but if you go a little bit further in 3:6, it explains that this is a two-step process. The first process is that our parents conceive us and we are born into the world. Now we have no choice in this. They had done this by their decision, you know, by the relationship, by the decision, and we are born into the world. But we need to be born spiritually. And that is the second decision, but it is a personal decision. It's something that we can only do ourselves, and it's by seeking God. And when we seek God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, he is faithful to bring us to his plan of salvation, which is through Jesus Christ and his gift to us that he provides for us. And so it is taking the moment to be able to say, okay, I need to have this spiritual birth where the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and the two become one, and then life changes tremendously. Would you agree?
Man, that's right. Absolutely. As you know, like I related in my experience, my life took a turn that day. I literally had one foot in the grave. The decision was already made. The only reason I didn't do it is because I wanted to say goodbye to my kids. And 5 minutes later, my life changed, and it hasn't been the same. It's like, you know, a complete, you know, in the military, when you're marching in one direction, and you're going to obey the orders. I mean, they're marching you right to a cliff, and your orders are you keep moving forward, right? Then at the last second, the person leading the formation will say, rear! March! And immediately the entire 300-man column just shifts and does a 180-degree movement. Now we're all moving the other direction, right? That's what happened to me when I received Jesus as my Savior on January 25th, 1992 at 11:35 p.m. in a little peppery part of Columbus, Georgia, right? And that's what can happen. Your whole life can pivot in one moment of time if you give God the opportunity.
Awesome.
Tom, I sense someone somewhere wants to receive Jesus as their Savior right now. Would you do the honor of leading them into the throne room and to Jesus right now?
Oh, what an honor. Yes, I would. So let's focus our thoughts and our heart upon the Lord. And please pray with me. Dear Father God, I thank you for your Son Jesus and the work he did on the cross. By shedding his blood, he paid the price for all sins of mankind. I want to tell you, Father, I am a sinner. I am sorry for the pain my sins have caused Jesus and you. Please forgive me. Now I invite you to come into my heart and life, and I want to live for you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, what about those who, this thought just came to, what about those who may be Christians right now, but they've fallen away? You know, is there any hope for them? Is there a prayer you can pray for them to return to Jesus, come back to Jesus and into the graces of God again?
Oh, yes. There are people that are crying out. You know, they get lukewarm or they get complacent, and now they want to restore the relationship. So let's pray that.
All right.
Let's, again, focus our heart and our mind upon the Lord. Dear Father, search my heart and reveal to me any unforgiveness I have towards others. Mm. Please release grace for me to forgive anyone who has hurt me. Lord, show me where I have stepped into personal sin and empower me to turn from them and repent. Lord, show me if there is any gods that I have in my life that is above you or anything that is above you. Reveal that to me, Lord God, so that I can place you in that proper spot. You had said it in Exodus 20, that you want to be our God. So please, Father, help us to come into that position. Also, Lord, give me the strength to overcome temptation and be true to your ways. I give you authority to come into all areas of my life, and I surrender all of myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, if you prayed that prayer with Tom, you need to either email him, which we'll give his contact info here in a second, or email me at brotherbob@ftfm.org, because we want to rejoice with you. You know, and I say this on my radio program all the time. If you're in the United States, I can't do this overseas for folks over there, I'm sorry, but if you're in the United States and you do not have your own copy of the Bible and you pray that prayer and you email me and tell me you need a Bible, I will get you your own Bible and prepay the postage all the way to you anywhere in the United States, because our job is to get the word into you. And that's something that I offer on that. So I'll go ahead and put that again. If you prayed that prayer with Tom, email me at brotherbob@ftfm.org. Tell me you need a Bible, and one will be on the way in just a few days to you. Amen. Tom, anything to finish up with before we close? Because we are all out of time, brother.
Well, a closing thought would be is that I like a poem by Robert Frost. You know, and we have a link for that. It's called The Road Less Taken. And the thing is that either we can go down the easy path or we can go down the difficult path. Mm-hmm. But according to the poem, is that the difficult path made all the difference. And for me, that is the discovery of sin that has been made the difference in my life. I can't tell you how much transformation has taken in my life because I said, Lord, I'm willing to pay any price that is necessary for me to get to the place you want me to be so that I can be used of you. And that has been, that has made all the difference. So there'll be a link for that poem, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Amen. Amen. Like I said, Tom, we are all out of time again, right? I wanted to talk about your books, but we don't have time. So I'll put the links to all your books in the show notes, along with some links to the other things we've talked about today. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
I have an email, healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
All right. And folks, you really need to order some or all of Tom's books. They are really, really good and will give you the information you need for such a time as this. All right. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that. But use the links down below to reach out to Tom, order his books, or get in touch with someone who can pray with you and answer any questions you may have about Jesus. All that's down below. Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.